podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 148 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. First time on YouTube for a long, long, long time. Hopefully, going forward, we should have all episodes uploaded in future onto our YouTube channel. So please, obviously, give us a follow, like, and subscribe on there if you can. But we're back. Everton winning again. Back-to-back wins for the first time this season, which is absolutely fantastic. First away win of the season, which was great to see, and great for the fans who travelled so far during, obviously, train strikes and things like that as well, that we come away with the 3 points. But, Pete, you must be sitting there delighted that Everton have won away from home, got back-to-back wins, and moving up the table in the right direction.
I am delighted. I'm thrilled. It felt significant for lots of reasons, but one of the big takeaways for me was it felt like, for once, we sort of got what we deserved in terms of level of performance and what we put into the game. You know, there's been so many times for us recently where, you know, we've been the better team for long spells of matches and then we end up drawing or losing. And I think there were several moments, I'm sure we'll come on to talk about in the Southampton game, where that very well could have happened. You know, maybe on another day or at times last season, we would have come away from that fixture, we would have lost it. And there was a key moment for me before we got the second goal, where we had to defend a Southampton counter-attack. I think Che Adams had the chance to put Southampton 2-1 up. And I don't know if Pickford saved it or whether Cody blocked it. And it came out to Armstrong. And then we got another block in. And if anyone that's not seen the highlights or watched the game, if you look at that moment, I think we've got about 8 or 9 players behind the ball, all defending. And there's about 4 or 5 defenders on the floor trying to block these shots. And for me, that just highlighted the difference. I think in another last season or in another game, would have conceded there and we would have lost it. So I think there's a real shift in mentality and team ethos that we're starting to see. And yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. It felt like it was just desserts for hard work, hard fought win.
And that moment that you mentioned there, that was one of the pivotal moments of the game for me, which we'll touch on shortly. But if we start in the first half, it was a funny game, really, wasn't it? Because watching, you know, the first half, Everton were very much on top, had more of the ball. We're trying to obviously keep the ball for longer periods of time. But we lacked a little bit in that final third, which we've seen quite often now and again. Obviously now we have got a sense of striker in Neil Mopay in there. Dwight McNeil came in yesterday, along with obviously Demarai Gray, Anthony Gordon being a little bit under the weather. But Lee, it was the first half, you were thinking, weren't you, because we were pretty dominant, I thought, anyway. You were always thinking that this might come back to bite us, especially after what we've seen, obviously, last season when we went to Southampton and other games as well. So we need to learn to sort of, when we are on top, obviously, get that goal and try and obviously make an indentation into the game as early as we can.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I think I said to you boys, wasn't it? I think we were the most comfortable we've looked, certainly away from home this season in terms of possession. Southampton looked really toothless, and I felt it was an ideal opportunity to grab 3 points. And it wasn't too dissimilar to last season, if you remember when we played them. We started off the game well that day, and then obviously I think we went in at half time 0-0 there as well, didn't we? And then they got an early goal second half, and then that was it. We just capitulated. So I was really pleased with the way we were on the ball, the way obviously Frank's obviously I think progressing, trying to progress to. I think offensively, we certainly looked like the team more likely. But I still felt we were just a little bit toothless. We were just sort of keeping possession quite comfortably, but not creating a great deal as well. And, you know, when we did get into good positions, I just felt we were just making poor decisions, and that decision-making angle came back into it again. I think Damari Gray in particular, you know, got into some great positions and was just wasteful, wasn't he? He does remind me a little bit of almost like Barkley in some ways, and the fact that I was speaking to a friend of ours, friend of the show, Mike, and he was saying that he has a tendency, Damari Gray, I know, Pete, you'll agree with this, he has a tendency to make the difficult things look easy and the easy things look difficult, doesn't he? You know what I mean? The fact he gets to some great positions with great feet, quick feet, getting past people with ease. And then when he gets in that final third, he almost seems to make the wrong decision nearly like most of the time. I think kind of that sums up his career. And the same could go with Dwight McNeil as well yesterday. Again, probably always looking to come on that left foot. Look at, you know, I think they were reading him quite easily and he lost possession a couple of times when we got into great spots. So without being overly critical, I felt we controlled the game pretty well, but again we just lacked that real sort of cutting edge in the final third. I felt
that was the pattern of the first half, and that was always the concern, wasn't it? So when we obviously the second half gets going, and within 4 minutes we find ourselves behind to a Joe Aribo goal for Southampton, you start to then think, here we go. Like last season, and Lampard alluded to this in his post-match as well. He said about this, you know, last season we went there, we went 1-0 down, went 2-0 down, and that was the game. Even at 1-0 down, how many times last season did we say between ourselves, game over. You know, we just knew there was not enough there, whether it be from a mentality perspective or just from an ability side of things, to actually come back and get something from a game. And when he did score, you think, you know, there we go. You know, we bossed the first half in terms of ball possession without causing too many issues. They then go down to the end at the start of the second half and get the first goal of the game. So you think, you know, it's going to be difficult for us to get back into this game. Also because, as well, we haven't really been prolific in terms of scoring goals so far this season. So you think we're up against it. But it was really important, Pete, wasn't it, to, when we go behind, to get back in the game. And, you know, within a couple of minutes, set piece on our left-hand side. And this time, Connor Cody wasn't to be denied his first goal for the club, was he?
Took it well, didn't he?
Really well.
Absolutely smashed that. But, yeah, I had a right sulk on when we went 1-0 down, because, I mean, you can't help it, can you? But you think... Here we go again. You know, we were the better team. We, you know, we could have had two or three in the first half if we were more clinical, or we would have made different decisions, like Lee said. You know, we've gone 1-0 down. This is going to suit Southampton now. They're going to sit back. They're going to look to hit us on the counter, and it's just going to be a miserable, you know, 35, 40 minutes. But no, they shocked me, and I was thrilled they did. I thought actually the header from Onana was brilliant. I've watched that goal several times, and you can see as it comes over, he's played that across for someone to get on the end on. So it was a really neat assist, but it completely shifted the momentum. You know, as soon as we got that equaliser, you could almost feel the belief, couldn't you?
But it didn't allow them to sit in, did it? Because they went ahead. And obviously, quite often, especially when sides are looking for points away on in the season, they get ahead and then they'll then just sit and go, go on, try and break us down. We didn't give them the chance to do that because we scored so quickly after they went ahead. And that was the really important thing. Like you say, Pete, the momentum then straight away, it went to us. They were sort of shell-shocked. They didn't hold a lead for any time at all. And we get that goal back and you start to think, yeah, you know, we've got a chance here now. Because I think... There's certainly a belief, I think, in this squad, you know, which we need to give them probably a little bit more credit for, that, you know, if we do go behind, then let's not panic. There's plenty of time left in the game. There was yesterday. And, you know, we know the attitude, the belief in this side is much, much better and much improved compared to last season. And I think that was another really key moment yesterday, was get back in that game as quick as you can. And what do we do? You know, I mean, Lee... On that free kick, Lee mentioned obviously Onana on that, which is a great header. I saw someone put on Twitter today about imagine Onana having the chance to work with Big Dunk. It's a shame, obviously, Big Dunk has moved on. and, you know, sort of working with him in saying in regards to his heading ability and things like that. Because he rose really well, didn't he? He was up, he hung, he was strong in the air. I was sitting there thinking, why hasn't he gone for goal there? But like you said then, Pete, he's gone up and he knew exactly what he was doing. He's headed it back across. Conor Cody said himself that he knew that he was onside. There was no debate there. No chance of goal was going to be disallowed. But it's greatly, isn't it, to see us from attacking set pieces as well as defending set pieces really well so far, being a threat as well.
Yeah, I genuinely think that goal shocked us into action, you know. I genuinely thought we just kind of were going to win this. It's just a matter of time before we get that first goal. That little bit of arrogance, dare I say, which we haven't seen from an Everton team for quite a while. And that goal definitely shocked us into action. As if almost to say, hang on a minute, we're better than these. These have just scored against the run of play. You know what I mean? And we've obviously got that goal. And that comes from belief. That comes from camaraderie, morale, whatever you want to call it. That comes from that place. And I genuinely think, this game was a complete opposite to that, you know, the very same fixture under Lampard. It was one of his, I think it was his second or third game, wasn't it, last season? And that shows you how far we've come in that time from a mentality perspective, that is, in the fact that you can clearly see there's a massive unity between fans and players. There's a massive unity between the players and the manager. And that comes across on the pitch. It pours out onto the pitch. You can see it. And I think the players just went, we're not having this. We're not having this. We're better than these. We've dominated these first half. You know, look at the stats that we were saying before. We've had more possession. Shots were similar. We had six corners to their none in the first half. So it was clearly us that were in the ascendancy. And it was us just literally saying, no, we're not having it. And that then resulted straight away in the second goal, because obviously they've tried to react to us scoring so quickly, and then we've caught them on the counter, haven't we? And that's, you know, for me, that's that finish from McNeil there. I mean, to be honest, let's be fair. Although our record on VAR isn't great, it would have definitely been a penalty on Onana, wouldn't it? Because he had a free header, and the guys literally shoved him right in the back. If they reviewed that, I would have been absolutely fuming. It wouldn't have gone for a pen. But you know, we all know what VAR is like. And McNeil, who I thought was a little bit in and out of the game and didn't, like I said, he was almost quite readable a lot of the times when he was coming in on his left foot every time from the right side. I mean, that's we know he's got a lovely left foot, and that's a lovely first touch, and that's a great finish. That's a great finish. It, you know, the pureness of the strike has beaten the keeper, hasn't it?
Oh, the finish was absolutely fantastic, and you know, yeah. Another Alex Iwobi assist as well, which went...
Yeah, lovely little dink, that. Lovely little ball, wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely ball. Little back lift, little dink over to the back post. But great touch, composed himself, and absolutely smashed it into the roof of the net. You know, we saw his finishing ability in the friendly against Dynamo Kiev when he came on. And we saw it for the first time in the Premier League. And it's what he needs, really, isn't it? You know, he came in... You know, not really a fanfare. You know, people look at Dwight McNeil and think, you know, he's hardly a marquee signing. His stats last year weren't great, was it? No goals and one assist for Burnley in a season which obviously they really struggled and in the end went down. But he's 22 years of age. You know, he's a young lad. He seems to have been around for quite a while. We've been linked with him, you know, numerous times over the last, you know, two or three seasons. So you forget his age. He's only young. Frank Lampard is using him occasionally. You know, if Anthony Gordon was 100%, obviously I mentioned there, you know, he wasn't well, so he didn't start the game. So, you know, Dwight McNeil started a few games. He's come off the bench in a few games. So, you know, the manager is using him as he sees fit. But he is young. And Pete, it's important that we allow, you know, for him to develop. He's not the complete player. He's got a lot of development to do. Say he is young, he's still learning. And we've got to back him up, haven't we? Because I think sometimes, you know, all fans are the same from all clubs, as the sections of fans. They're too quick to write players off. And that's what frustrates me. And we all get frustrated with new signings and players who maybe don't perform to a level. But it was great to see him, wasn't it? Get that goal. He celebrated it, you know, wildly, because he said after the game how much he's gone through in the last few months, to be honest. But great for him to score, wasn't it?
Definitely. I was thrilled for him to get that goal. I really was, because that statistic, I got really wound up. I think it was Sky, wasn't it, said something. They gave two stats for Dwight McNeil, and I thought, why have you done that? Why have you done it? So unhelpful. The first stat was something like he's had more shots than any other Premier League player without scoring. And the other was it something like 56, 52 games, something like that, without a goal?
Yeah.
Why pin that stat on the lad when he's just bang one in the top bin?
Mm.
You know, I just don't understand it at all. So, you know, the pressure that he must be under, he must put himself under. I was absolutely thrilled for him to get that goal. And look, we've learned our lesson, haven't we, with judging players who have got great ability that might not always fully unlock it on the pitch. I mean, look at what's happened with Alex Iwobi. And, going back to Lee's point on Damari Gray earlier, I think he's another example of someone that's, you know, worked hard and adapted and is starting to perform consistently closer to the level and has more to give. So let's hope Dwight McNeil's another one. And like you say, Mike, he's, you know, so young. It's his first season. You know, we're still finding out about him. We've got a new manager as well and a new squad and, you know, players who are learning and growing and gelling together. So, yeah, let's hope it's the first of many goals for him.
The way he's taken that goal there, the way he sort of took that first touch into the ground almost, you know, we should start probably calling him James McNeil. I mean, it reminded me a little bit of that strike, although the way he struck it was different. You know, the way James brought it down against United, Old Trafford, where he, like, you know, almost like stunned it into the ground and then half volleyed it. But that he kept that one low, didn't he, into the corner past De Gea. This one was first touch, immaculate, and then second touch, just rifled it, hasn't he, on the half volley. Like I said, the pureness of the strike is completely beat the keeper at his near post into the roof of the net. You know what? I think, like I said, it shocked us into action. It was almost if we were so defiant that we weren't going to lose this game. And then we had a superb counter not long after that from Seamus Coleman, who put in a lovely ball on his left foot. And Onana, free as a bird in the middle there. He has to score that, doesn't he? It was an absolute sitter, that, really. I mean, I know we were praising him for lovely knockdown for the first goal, but that one to make it three was, you know, I mean, he should be burying that. And he scores that, the game's finished. I think they're thinking, you know, Southampton haven't scored in two games at that point as well, you know, so they would have to then score two just to get back on level terms. It would have just killed the game completely, that. So if there is a criticism, what I do like at the minute is that we are moving in the right direction. Lampard's clearly seen, as we've said before, where the deficiencies were. He's come in, he's resolved a lot of those. We look a completely different side now through the spine, particularly through the, you know, centre-back, and midfield looks completely different. But, you know, if there is a criticism, and he'll know this as well, is that, you know, once we get that 2-1 up there and we are playing effectively counter, then, you know, we've got to be ruthless. So it's great to see that we're moving in the right direction, but it's also great to see that there's so much more improvement to be made, isn't there?
Yeah, of course there is, and we're certainly not the complete article. There's a long, long way to go. We were saying in the early part of the season, we thought we deserved more points. It was great to get a 3 points that I thought was deserved yesterday, the same against West Ham. So what we're now doing now, we're probably turning maybe draws into wins, which is what we weren't doing against, like to say, Brentford and Leeds, when, you know, we should have really been seeing those games out or trying to go on and get another goal. But I think the positive signs are there. But, you know, we had outside of Onana's chance, it was Damari Gray got put through. He should have stuck that one away. He slid in the end, didn't he? He waited too long to try and put the ball on the back of the net, and it was, he lacked a little bit of conviction there. So there's another example of Damari Gray at times, where you say the difficult things make them look easy, and the easy things make them look a little bit difficult. But, you know, again, we're not trying to write any kind of player off. It's just about having a little bit of improvements as the season goes on. But the key to it all for me, which is what Pete mentioned at the start of the show, was when it was 1-1, James Tarkowski gives the ball away. Southampton then come at us, and we see a total of three blocks from three separate players. Connor Cody was the first one, Mikhailenko the second one, and then Seamus Coleman with the third one. We get the ball clear, go down the other end, and make it 2-1. Now, that's the really, really impressive thing for me. A lot of fans have gone back to that particular point yesterday to say, you know, that's Everton. That's what we're all about. That's what we should be about. We're seeing players now putting the body on the line, trying to get in the way of anything that they can. And yesterday, Pete, we got the rewards for that, didn't we? Because it's very much, it's not a case of just, you know, celebrating the goals and things like that. It's important to celebrate good defending, solid defending, commitment. And that's exactly what that moment was yesterday, wasn't it?
Definitely, absolutely. You know, first and foremost, you've got to be hard to beat, haven't you? And it's, you know, it's a footballing cliche, but Everton in the Premier League era, we've generally always been a team who, you know, are extremely hard to beat, and it's generally very rare that we get turned over, because even when, you know, we've been under difficult regimes and difficult times, it's something the fan base just don't accept, and it's something that the club, regardless of, you know, whoever the owners are, whoever's got the sort of control and power, thankfully, they haven't accepted either. So it does feel like a real shift in, you know, momentum, identity, again, going back to, you know, knowing who your back four is, you know, being able to predict a team sheet, Coleman coming in and slotting back in for Pattinson, and, you know, having a seamless game. It feels like we're starting to see, you know, a team taking shape again.
I think that's it, isn't it? I think a team taking shape is right, and that's going to be our discussion after the first part today about this identity. But I think what we're seeing game by game, Lee, is the fact that, I keep on saying this, I feel that we are improving game by game. We're not seeing a complete 90 minutes. We're not seeing total dominance, of course. We do all want more goals and all want wins to look at that a little bit more convincing than they do on paper, so to speak. But I think what we're seeing now, and you know, the work that the manager has done with his coaching staff, the players have bought into it. Yesterday was another example of that. And I think it's a great point that Pete makes, is the fact that we now can pretty much sit here and pick our starting 11, can't we? You know, bar the one change yesterday, which we were unsure, was Anthony Gordon. He wasn't pictured in saying on Friday, so you assume there was something not quite right. But pretty much, you know, we can select our 11 now and know what our strongest 11 is and how we're going to play.
Yeah, and that's something we couldn't have done only a few months ago. You know what I mean? So the transformation really is incredible. I still think we definitely need more quality in the final third. I think most people would agree with that. But, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, was it? And we have to, you know, the amount of changes we've made, not just incomings, but also outgoings. You know, Alan's gone recently as well. So whilst I think, and what I think we think as a collective, Alan on the whole was, you know, a relatively decent signing at, you know, certainly a transitional time for the club. He certainly wasn't a player in the peak of his career. Now we look at that midfield and it looks completely different, doesn't it? It looks completely different in the midfield now. I feel more confident now going into these games where, you know, we've lost 7 out of 10 at St Mary's. Yeah, you know I mean, our record there is absolutely awful. So, you know, these are the sort of games where in the past you dread almost going there because you know you're probably a better side, but we probably find a way to lose the game or find a way to capitulate like we have done more recently. So it's a real barometer test, that match yesterday. And I was interested to see how we reacted, and we reacted brilliantly, certainly to going a goal down, like I said. And if I'm being critical, though, whilst we're giving out loads of praise, and Lampard and his team will definitely look at this, is how we, after we got that goal in front, we didn't then just kind of go, let's try and get the third and kill it. We naturally sat off, and then we really invited a real horrible spell of pressure, didn't we? Now, if you look at the stats second half, first half, as I said before, it was very much in our favour. Second half, they had 16 shots to our 7. So they had twice as many shots as us. 5 on target to our 3. And they had 7 corner kicks to our 0. Now, if you can, the flip side, the first half, we had 6 to their 0. So you know, if Lampard's going to be super critical, and he will look at this with his team and things like that as well, what he'd probably want is, look, no problem is trying to soak up pressure and invite teams on, but maybe be a lot more ruthless and get maybe that third or fourth goal on the counter-attack by making the right decisions. Because we certainly had enough players on the pitch with pace to counter, you know, with a lot of purpose, and we didn't really do it. I know we had those quick fire chances after the second goal, but after that, it was pretty much, you know, us trying to basically keep them out, wasn't it, for the last 20 minutes or so. And, you know, I think in future, if we do want to, you know, be overly critical, maybe we'd do that with a little bit less stress.
Yeah, that's it. And it's about progressing to that particular point where you can dominate games. And when you do go, whether it's one up, two up, whatever it might be, you look comfortable. You try not to invite the pressure. I think naturally, you know, especially maybe in our position and the fact that, you know, we are still going through a development phase, and after what happened last season, it's very much a case of sometimes when we do go ahead, it's what we have, we hold. And that's in a lot of players' minds, to be fair. A lot of managers this season have said this, that I would have preferred us to have tried to take the game to them and try and obviously put the final nail in the coffin. But naturally, players don't. Outside of obviously the better teams, your Sissies, your Chelsea's, Arsenal's, etc. But that's something which obviously we can certainly work on. But I think it's really important that we do touch on this discussion around identity. As much as I hate that terminology, but it is what it is. You know, we always scream that we want to know what our identity is and that we've lost it in recent times. So we're going to discuss that after our first break. Welcome back to the second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast. And we mentioned identity before the break, and I think it's, you know, to be clear on that, we talk about what we see as fans as what an Everton identity should look like. And it, you know, it certainly should be changeable. It shouldn't just be, you know, this is Everton Football Club, this is how we should play. I think you hear, you know, Sky pundits quite often say, this is what an Everton team should be like. Well, you've got to move with the times. You've got to want to be better than what we've been in the past. And I think it's too easy to say this is just what Everton fans expect and how Everton should play. But what I would say is this season, as opposed to what we saw at the, you know, the back end, the last sort of 2 or 3 months of last season when we were fighting for our lives, we are starting to see the resemblance of a side, first of all, of players who are committed. And these are some great stats that are being put out on social media today, actually, in regards to Everton's defensive stats in the Premier League. We lead the way in tackles, clearances, blocks and saves for the Premier League, as well as having the best defensive record, thanks to Man City shipping 3 goals today against Manchester United. I think we've conceded 7 goals so far in the Premier League this season. So what's that telling us, Pete, in regard to this identity, the way that Frank Lampard wants to play? Do you see it as he's going to want us to be hard to beat and that's it? Or are we looking at this is just the start of things? It's let's build a base and then let's then look to improve the attacking side of things as we go on?
I definitely think it's the latter, because I think that's what we've learned about Frank Lampard as a manager. I know he's had a short managerial career, but you know, when he first came to Everton, he tried to set us out in a certain way, didn't he? Which was attacking, possession-based football. And one of the things we spoke about on the podcast, actually, that we really liked about Lampard that arguably saved our season last season was he had to adapt. He didn't persevere with that. He learned that wasn't working and that wasn't going to get points on the board. And the squad was in a dire place. So, you know, we went and played the majority of our games with that sort of back five or that sort of 3-4-3 system that we've relied on for so long until we've been able to overhaul the midfield. And now we've seen a very different Everton start to emerge with real stability in that middle. And like Leith was saying a moment ago, options and depth in the middle of midfield so that we can play a certain way and we can turn the ball over and we don't lose our identity when we lose certain personnel. And that feels really key. And I think that tells you a lot about, you know, Lampard and the club's vision going forward. And, you know, look, not to make too much of a meal of it, but I do think what's happening at the moment is really significant because, look, under Moyes, we had a really, really clear Everton identity. And when Martinez came in, we had a really clear Everton identity as well. He took it on, he shifted it. And that first season was, you know, absolutely, you know, it's one of my favourite seasons as an Everton fan that I can remember. And then, of course, teams worked us out and arguably, you know, personnel played a factor as well and the squad started to age. But I think after Martin has left, the succession of the managers we've had since, we've never really had a clear identity again. I think when Marco Silva came in, he tried very much to instill something and we started to see just embers of it, didn't we, flickers? But then very, very quickly, we got really unlucky with injuries and it didn't work out and, you know, Marco Silva moved on. But again, I think since the Martinez era, we've never really been able to, I think about Everton as like an entity with an identity. I think we've really been an unknown and it's been our downfall, hasn't it? I think that loss of a shared vision for the club and who we are and how we play, we've learned why it's so important because it got us into a horrendous mess. It nearly got us relegated. Because we ended up with a team that was made up of, you know, the lineage of what, four, five or six managers with their, you know, their views and their recruitment policies and, you know, a chairman who, albeit is heavily invested in us, has maybe, you know, made some errors as well when it comes to recruitment. And we've had to learn and we've had to reset. And I think that's what we're starting to see now with this unbeaten run we're on and the way that we're starting to play. With the midfield three and the recruitment, it's all fitting together. It's starting to make sense. And finally, I think we're starting to see the results on the pitch.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that. And I think the Martinez point is a good one because we go back to that season and the change from what we were under Moyes to Martinez, it was quite a big change, I thought. It had the little bit of Moyes in terms of the quality at the back, but then in terms of an attacking team, which to be fair, I think Moyes doesn't get the credit at times for how we play. You look at some of the goals we scored under David Moyes, and they were lovely to watch. You know, we always go back to like the Larissa goal with Leon Osman as one example, but we played some lovely football. But I think under Martinez, he came in with this new style. Very much relied on youth, exuberance, playing with energy. But then, obviously, he got found out and wasn't flexible and wasn't adaptable. What we've seen with Frank Lampard, Lee, is that even in this season, we can compare to last season, of course, but totally different. And I think it almost becomes irrelevant in terms of, I think, Frank Lampard, how he sets up now compared to last season, because it was needs must. We had to grind things out, and that's what we did. But now we've seen him shift from a three at the back to go into a four at the back, which everyone thought that we couldn't play. Everyone thought we couldn't have a three in midfield. We've got the personnel in. You know, we look at the midfield three, or at good games yet again against Southampton. You know, we could all, that's definitely our best midfield three, that's for sure. But we're seeing Frank Lampard be adaptable. And when things aren't working, and he thinks, okay, well, that maybe that's not suiting what we want to try and do, he's quite happy to then change things up and set us up in a different way, which I think is really, really important if we are going to improve as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think Pete's point there about options, I think he's now got options when he looks around at the bench, hasn't he? You know what I mean? He can look at the likes of a Decore now, who potentially can come on and shore up if we're trying to hold on to a league like we were yesterday, or even play a bit more box-to-box. You know, Garner, who was fantastic for the under-21s in the week, and by all accounts, Lampard was glowing about him in training as well, and now he's a good lad. And we all know United fans are obviously, you know, not very happy that he's moved on, because they seem to rate him very highly as well. You know, he's got a young player like that, he's got a bit of everything about him. Whereas before, I think last season, certainly a lot of games, he'd look around at his bench and going, what am I bringing on here? You know, what can I genuinely bring on here now that's going to actually change this game? You know, Lampard's talked about so many times in the transfer window about how this five sub rule is going to have a massive impact. and how he wants to have more options. Now, look, we're never going to have the options of maybe, you know, certainly in the short term of a City or even a United now, you know, got all, you know, 50, 60, 70 million pound players on the bench. But he has got more options to choose from now. And we still have, you know, what, 4, 5, 6 players out as well. So, you know, so at least yesterday he could turn around and feel like he could, you know, maybe change it. We still lack that little bit in from, like I said before, from an attacking perspective. You know, and you know, that's the first game this season we've scored actually 2 in a game as well. So let's remember that. You know, that's still part of the jigsaw we need to improve on 100%. Or we need, you know, we certainly need to add it. I think by getting Alan out, I think we will be after maybe 1 or 2 players in the January window by clearing some of the wages there to be able to do that, by the way. And that for me is what we're lacking a little bit. Now, I did want to mention another point as well is how well Patterson has been, and we've all been praising how well he's played since he's come in the side this season. I did feel yesterday with Seamus on that side and Mikulenko on the other, I felt that Seamus and Mikulenko, now this is not the Seamus of old where he would be bombing up and down like Patterson has been for us, but I did feel we lost something a little bit at fullback, didn't we, yesterday? You know, that shows you how well, that's testament to Patterson, by the way, how well he's played and how he's asserted himself in games and you know, bombed forward and created things in the final third. Yeah, you know, I did mention Seamus put in a great ball he did for Onana, but other than that, I just felt like, you know, defensively he was okay, but I just felt we lacked that little bit of impetus, certainly from the fullback position. But what I love is that, you know, Frank clearly sits down with his team. He's got some great people in there. And I think he's very much a manager that will talk, won't he, to the players. He'll talk to the coaching staff to figure out, well, let's work as a collective here and see how we can improve. And look, we can see it. We can see it all over the pitch. And the biggest thing for me, more than anything, and I alluded to it before, is we just look a lot more solid, don't we? We look a lot more solid. And he's clearly building from the back. And, you know, they always say for most managers, you have to build from the back. And that's clearly what he's doing. We look a lot more resolute. We look a lot harder to beat. It's interesting what I'm seeing, though, in the fact that you've given those defensive stats out before, Mike. We are still conceding quite a lot of shots on goal, though, aren't we? You know, you mentioned Pickford obviously has made a lot of saves. It'd be interesting to see the stats on how many of those are actually quality chances and how many of those, you know, maybe poor chances from 20, 25 yards. You know what I mean? We're not conceding a great deal of big chances is what I'm referring to. So it'd be interesting to see how that stat plays out in that respect. Because Pickford is showing at the moment, isn't he? He's the best keeper in the league in terms of, you know, basic chances to saves, isn't he? So it'd be interesting to see how that actually plays out. But look, at the end of the day, the main thing is we look a lot more resolute. We've got 2 centre-halves who, by all accounts, enjoy playing with each other. Our midfield is well balanced. We've got a bit of everything in there. And as I said before, we just need to be that little bit more clinical in the final third. I mean, can you imagine now if we had this setup like we have now, but had someone like Lukaku leading the line, for example? You know what I mean? I mean, we'd look a top team then, I think.
Yeah, it's all about personnel, of course. You know, and that's where the improvement will come. We had a good summer of recruitment. We had a good summer of shipping players out as well. And like you say, I think getting rid of Alan, obviously the last few days or so, is going to allow us even more wiggle room to do a bit of work in January as well, in an attacking sense, I think. But on the defensive side, obviously, we've mentioned the stats there. I think what it does show, whether it's big chances or not, but what it is showing is the manager is keen to stress after yesterday's game, as was Connor Cody, that what they are working on is a more possession-based game, and us having the ball more, which we did in the first half, of course, and then things shifted in the second half, and whether that's obviously because we went 2-1 up and we invited pressure. But I think for certain portions of games, we are still in a situation where we are giving up possession and not in control, like we've said already, happy to defend. And I think that's why we're seeing so many tackles, blocks, clearances and things like that, and saves, because we are still, we're not all the way there is what I'm trying to say. So I think the possession side is really important.
Do you know what, though, Mike, as well? I'm really glad that we're able to do that, because how many times have we seen Everton sides to our detriment trying to play out from the back and conceding goals, or, like you said before, drawing or losing that game because we've repeatedly, from a goal kick, tried to play out from the back and then given away a throw-in in our own half or a free kick in our own half, or even worse, got caught quickly on the break from a misplaced pass, or someone's tried to do something daft inside our own box. I think that there's clear, sensible instructions now being given, and you're seeing Jordan Pickford, you know, maybe after one or two times where that sort of played out, pushing the defence up and going long. And I've got all the time in the world for him taking as long as he likes with his goal kicks, by the way, because everybody else does it to us. And we've been too nice for too long.
We've got a smart years, haven't we? Yeah, we always say about. I mean, how many times have sides come to Goodison Park? Even this season as well.
Chelsea
were doing it, and I think that Newcastle, when they came last season, they were doing it. Wasting time from goal kick. But funny enough, you should mention long balls. We also lead the way in long balls as well. Now, this is not a case of Big Sam Allardyce tactics, let's just shoot the ball up. Tarkowski and Cody, the two of them, are fairly accurate and fairly good at playing a diagonal pass, switching the play, but going along with it. Jordan Pickford obviously does it. He did it fairly well yesterday as well. So we're starting to see that. So it is good at times to go long, because we've got the quality of player who can pick a pass, not just hoof the ball up and then obviously try and win the header or try and win the second ball. It's pick a player out in a wide position, pick a player out in a central position, but do it with control. And that's what we're starting to see with these players, because we've got players who are comfortable in doing that. And that's another real, real key change what we've seen this season. So there's definitely a time to do it. We do play out from the back at times sometimes, but we're not at that point really, in terms of players being overly comfortable on the ball to be always doing that. So it's good to mix things up. But I'm quite happy to see us do that. You know, as long as it's efficient, it's accurate, then there's no problem at all. And that's all part
Cody's, of... Sorry, mate, Cody's comments yesterday were interesting, weren't they, after the game? He said... he's brilliant working with this gaffer. He really, really obviously clearly likes him. But he said the gaffer keeps on telling us it's not where we are now, it's where we finish. Mm. And what he was talking about in that context was about improvement, isn't it? And how where we are now in terms of as a squad and as a style of playing, as the way we're playing, it's where we finish and the journey it takes to get there. And I think that's what, there's that iconic image. I know you're putting it out on the release of the pod later, but that iconic image of Lampard walking off the pitch or on the halfway line with his players and the fans in unison behind him. Mm. That's a really iconic picture, that really is. Lampard can use that picture when he retires in like 20, 30 years time on his book. Yeah. That'll be an absolute iconic photo, that whoever took that picture, because it's clearly a manager walking off proud of his players and his players celebrating with fans who are proud of the team.
Well, that's it. I mean, Frank Lampard had been over already, hadn't he? And you've seen loads of videos, which we love watching, from the Everton fans yesterday. I also enjoyed watching the one from the Southampton fans who do a YouTube channel when we scored the second goal. That was also quite interesting. But Lampard had been over. He obviously got a little bit of the applause, as he does. But then he was quite keen. He ushered the players over. And then he walked away, and that image is great, isn't it? You know, it's the master and his apprentices, and obviously the adulation which comes with the work that he's done. But he's really keen for the players to get the applause from the fans. You know, we see Onana, as we see Garner Gay, Iwobi, they're all dancing, you know, and it's what you love to see. And the connection between fans, players, managers, coaching staff. We've said it before on the show this season. It's as good as I've ever known it, to be honest. And I think in a way, and it sounds horrendous, because last season was so bad for everyone's mental and physical health. I don't ever want to go through it again. But in a way, that has got us to where we are now as a club, because we had no other choice but to unite. We got behind the manager, obviously, as soon as he came in. Those scenes at the back end of last season, from Chelsea game, obviously Crystal Palace, Brentford, you know what, when the coach went to Leicester, all of those things, those scenes were unprecedented. You don't see it. You just don't see it. Now, what it's meant is that's continued into this season. The fans feel part of this Frank Lampard journey. They feel an attachment to the players after going so many years when probably we haven't, how many times we go to the match and Goodison Park where you could hear a pin drop. You know, it was horrible. It wasn't enjoyable. You did that out of duty, basically. But now what we're seeing is we've gone through absolute hell together last season and just came through it out the other end. That stood us in good stead this season and meant that we can now continue together. And as we all know, United, we are better. Of course we are. And it gives us a much better chance to pick up points and win games and pull the players through. And the players want to work for this club and they want to work for the fans. They see what it means. The connection's there. And for me, that should never be broken. We shouldn't forget, obviously, how important we are, but how much now I think we mean to the players and the manager as well. So I think that's been really, really, really important, and long may that continue for me. And hopefully, you know, and I'm sure it will, as much as the kickoff time against Man United is absolutely horrendous on a Sunday at 7 o'clock. Whoever thought that one must have been going to boxing the night before and wanted to make sure that they could attend both occasions. That is, it's a shocking kickoff time, but hopefully it'll be a great atmosphere, and we're going to discuss that after our final break. Welcome back to the final part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast, and it's all eyes on Goodison Park next weekend. Manchester United are in town. They were in form, weren't they? Ten Hag obviously recently had won Manager of the Month. Rashford had got Player of the Month. Always looking rosy. They rock up to the Etihad Stadium and ship six goals against obviously the best side in the country and the best player in the country, it's got to be said, in Erling Haaland. And you know, the only surprising thing really was they got that they scored three after the way that the game was going. But Pete, have you got much fear of Manchester United coming to Goodison Park without trying to tempt fate? You know, I always think back to the 90s, sort of growing up, and every time that they rocked up to Goodison Park, and into obviously the early 2000s as well, there was a big fear playing Manchester United. And Goodison Park, we had some of our best times, our best nights, you know, when they came to town and the fans were basically on the pitch with the players. But is that fear factor there with this United side or not?
It's definitely not, is it? And it's like you say, Mike, it's probably not been since Sir Alex Ferguson's tenure, has it? Because they used to have our number. You know, there's so many times we used to go up against them and either we'd play so well and then, you know, lose the game to a dodgy penalty or, you know, a Fergie time goal, or they would absolutely turn us over. I can remember that game where I think Solskjaer scored, was it 3 or 4? I think we lost that 5 or 6 nil. But yeah, they generally always seem to find a way to beat us or beat us well. And if, after that, really, we've had quite a few good results against them. And now they come to Goodison and you just fancy it. You always fancy it. But I think that the thing for us, and I said it before in our group chat, after they've got that drumming, it could potentially work against us and we might get the fallout and the kickback from them getting so badly beaten in the derby. But it all depends what United turn up. I know Man City and Haaland are absolutely phenomenal and, you know, they're on another planet. But for me, they were outworked in a lot of that game today. Yes, City are and were brilliant, but there were similarities for me for when they got beat by Brentford 4-0. And just they were just so slow, and you know, giving the opposition so much space and allowing players to run at them. And it's hard to know how much is, you know, personnel and how much they're in transition. But you know, of course, I'm not a football manager. I'm just a fella that goes to game like everybody else. But you look at the team that Ten Hag put out today and you think, why would you have Christian Eriksen trying to defend the 18-yard box against Manchester City? You know, if you're going to have him in the team, you want him pulling the strings, or you want him to be higher up the pitch. And, you know, it was similar to Brentford. They were trying to use him to play out, and they just got repeatedly hit on the counter-attack and didn't seem to have an answer for rapid, aggressive play. So my hope is a similar United turn-up, and I think if we're man-for-man, harder, better, faster, stronger, and we go into the game with aggression, and we approach it the same way we have whenever United have come to us over the past few seasons, then yeah, I'm really hopeful that we might come away with the win.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because in terms of obviously the game against Man City, you don't want to read too much into it because of how good they are, but you still see, like you said, Pete, weaknesses in that United side that we could possibly exploit, and you don't know obviously what their setup's going to be in terms of where they're going to play particular personnel, Eriksen being one. Does Ronaldo come back in? Sat there on the bench today. I think they made 5 subs and he wasn't to be seen. He was on the bench. So you do wonder, you know, will Varane be fit? There's a few question marks surrounding them. And you look back at that Brentford game, you know, at the start of the season, and they were absolutely horrific in that particular game. And obviously Brentford are a different side to us in terms of how they play. And how quick they are on the counter, but the feeling, I keep on saying it. I just don't, and it's, you know, this might come back to bite me in the backside, but I just don't see the game like I used to against United. It was always white hot at Goodison Park, because when they rocked up, you know, quite often they were champions or they were going to be champions, and they had some absolute quality. They've got quality now. Don't get me wrong. There's quality on that side. But I just think at this moment in time, with the momentum that we've got and what Frank Lampard is creating at this moment in time, we've got a great chance of certainly getting something from the game, if not getting 3 points.
Yeah, that sense of invincibility around United has slowly waned over the years since Fergie left, hasn't it? And we have turned them over a few times at Goodison since then. You know, back in the Fergie days, you know, we'd always regret them coming over. You know, they would turn us over quite regularly. But I think United have had a weird start to the season. I know Ten Hag's had a lot of praise for September, but I still think there's a lot of false positives, you know, around United. And what I mean by that is obviously, you know, they lost to Brighton at home, first game of the season. They lost to Brentford, as we know, pretty comfortably, almost embarrassingly. And then they got that win against Liverpool. And as we know, Liverpool, and as it's been shown as well, you know, they're all over the place at the minute, which is great to see, by the way. But I just think United got that win against Liverpool, arguably, you know, a bit of a smash and grab type, you know, on the counter type performance against an out of sorts Liverpool team. And that really gave them a real sort of, as it would do, because obviously they've had some bad results against Liverpool in the last few years, but it gave them that real shot of injection. And then they went on a run then. But when I was looking back at the results and the stats behind those results, the run wasn't as impressive as I thought. They beat Southampton 1-0 away, had less shots. They beat Leicester 1-0 away, straight after that, less shots. And then obviously they beat an Arsenal team at home. And if anyone watched that Arsenal game, Arsenal were the better team by a distance. And they had that Martinelli goal disallowed, which would have been 1-0 after 5 minutes or 5-10 minutes, whatever it was. And it was the softest free kick given against given for Eriksen. Do you remember that? And then Arsenal then, arguably, Mikel went a little bit too gung-ho too quickly, didn't he? It played into their hands and they scored on the counter. But Arsenal, again, you've been brilliant this season. They've won 7 out of 8, and that was the only game they lost, but they should have won that as well. As Pep alluded to, you know, Arsenal being the better team in every game this season. So they won that game. Then they lost to Sociedad in the Europa League at home, 1-0. And then obviously they beat Sheriff Tiraspol, again, having away from home, again, conceding more shots. And then obviously City absolutely wiped the floor with them today, which isn't a disgrace, as we know, because City now were an unbelievable team. Now they're in even better team with Haaland, if that's to be believed, who's putting the ball in the net. So, as I was saying before, the original point, there's a lot of false positives around this United team. I think Ten Hag that result against Liverpool would have saved them an avalanche of absolute noise around the club, wouldn't it, if Liverpool would have won that and they'd have lost three on the spin. As it's turned out, they've managed to turn it round. The press have got off their back a little bit and they've had a little bit of a run. But I think genuinely, with the confidence we've got going through the side now, again, if we can stay solid, which I think we will, because they still have players who can hurt you, we know that. I think we can beat them. I genuinely think we can beat them. And I say that from a fairly confident place as well. You know what I mean? And the fact that we have looked a lot more resolute and we have looked, you know, a much better team and we are unbeaten in the last seven games in all comps. So, yeah, the overriding point is theirs. I think United have flattered to deceive and they've got away with it by nicking a few games here and there, which could have easily gone, you know, in other directions. So, you know, it might be a good time to play them after City turning them over and then, in my opinion, getting a little bit lucky in a few games before that.
Well, if you can see the 14 goals in seven games in the Premier League, you know, obviously, six against City.
Six today. Half, yeah. Well, it's basically half today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But they still shift four against Brentford. So the point is, obviously, they brought in, you know, a fairly new defence in a way. You know, they've got a small centre-half in Martinez now. I'm not saying he's poor by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, at the moment...
He's looked good, by the way. He has looked good.
Him and
Varane have looked good. But the good news is Varane did his ankle today, didn't he? And
yeah.
Varane is a world-class centre-half, as we know, when he's fit. And when he's fit is the key bit, because he's always injured. But I think that'll play into our hands as well, by the way. The fact that it'll likely be Lindelof who will have to play at the back, won't it?
It's a shame that we're not, you know, I mean, Dom could be in the squad, but we're not going to see him. Not going to be firing all cylinders. He won't start the game. Which, you know, I'd fancy Dom to be pulling on Martinez all game. And, you know, if we're having to go longer times, then Dom can bring the ball down and bring players in. But I think, you know, the changes that they've made, the players that they brought in, they brought, obviously, some quality there. You know, you look at Anthony's goal today. He's quite a sharp player, quite quick. He got paid with Rashford, and who started the season well. Sancho, who started the season fairly well. So we're going to be testing the time. Of course we are. But I do think that we are going to create chances, and we will get chances. And I think we've got a strong enough base and spine to obviously, hopefully, shut them out, or at least obviously concede less than we score. But the confidence that Everton should be sky high, I've got to be honest. I've not seen it, as I said, this United and the feelings towards a club so strong for such a long time, that the players have got to feed off that. And I'm sure the feel good factor is back around Finch Farm, and now we're starting to get our just rewards for the performances that we are putting in. But let's have our predictions before we go. Pete, what are we saying?
It's going to be 2-0. Your scorers are going to be Neil Mopay and Anthony Gordon.
Hopefully that's accurate. Let's see. We'll hold you to that. Lee?
I love how decisive Pete is. He's like this when he does his hackers. I think you mentioned there some of their players, Mike, by the way. I think by a distance, their best player has been Eriksen this season. And I'm a bit gutted in a way we didn't get him. I know we were in for him. Obviously, look, our midfield, you know, would we have signed then maybe Onana, maybe we don't know, or whatever, or even Idrissa Gueye, possibly not. But Eriksen's been outstanding for him, absolutely outstanding. And, you know, his set-piece delivery with the big lads we have in the box, he would have been brilliant, wouldn't he? But that's another story. So, I think it'll be tight. I'm going to go 1-1. And that's not to burst the bubble a little bit. I just think they have got enough players in that team. You know, they've spent 100 million on Anthony. They've got, you know, Ronaldo, who can score a goal from nowhere. You know, Rashford on the counter-attack. You know, Sancho showed bits in patches this season. So, yeah, I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to go 1-1.
I was thinking 1-1, but I'm going to go 2-1 Everton. I think we'll concede, as you say. They have got players who can hurt us. And at some point during the game, they will dominate at some point. But I do think that we've got enough there, as I say, to cause them problems. I think the commitment and work ethic is there of all players. And I think confidence is a very, very fragile thing. And I think for that club, and, you know, behind the scenes issues potentially with Ronaldo, which have been well reported, I think confidence issues remain at United. And like you say, I think sometimes the cracks have been papered over so far this season, and things might look a little bit more rosier than they actually are. So I think we can play into that. We can tap into that and hopefully come away with the 3 points. But I'm going to say Everton are going to win the game by 2-1. But that is us for this week. Our first one on YouTube. So like I said at the start of the show, if you can subscribe and give the video a like, that will help us a lot. Obviously, we're out on all our usual platforms as well. Spotify, iTunes, again, if you can give us a follow, subscribe on those platforms, that will also help us as well. But we'll be back next weekend or next week to look back on the United game. Hopefully it's a good one for the Blues. Let's keep that momentum going and let's see where it takes us before we have to break up for the Winter World Cup. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.